This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. Hi, welcome to Trick Talks. My name is Barbara Lally, and today I'm going to read to you from my book, The Trickster Diaries. Crushed by a Crush. Disclaimer: the names of individuals have been changed to protect their anonymity. I went on my first ski trip in middle school. I was feeling an unusual sense of confidence, a feeling I hadn't experienced in what seemed like forever. I didn't care about the eyebrows, eyelashes, or hair I was missing. Instead, I was focused on all of my new stuff. I had a brand new jacket, new snow pants, even a new CD player to play my new Avril Lavigne CD. I felt like the coolest kid on the bus. My dad had to drive me to school at 6 o'clock in the morning to make the bus because the ski resort was far away from school. At first, I felt wide awake because I was so excited. I had skied before, but it had been a while. I sat next to one of my best friends at the time, Caitlin. We played the game MASH. We talked about our crushes, Milton and Tom, our teachers, and listened to music together. Eventually, I began to feel tired. As I mentioned earlier, my confidence was at an all-time high. I even felt cute. No eyelashes? No problem. I had a moment where I thought to myself, wow, Milton will definitely look at me while I'm sleeping and think of how adorable I look. I even imagined him saying that I looked like an angel. Talk about an exaggerated confidence. I fell asleep with a little smirk. When I woke up, I thought about asking Caitlin if anyone talked about me while I was asleep. I was giddy to hear the news. Hey, did anyone talk about me while I was sleeping? Yeah, Milton said you looked like an alien. Comments. Another day, another comment. The thought of facing you again? I really want to vomit. I can feel your looks, your grins, and your stares. Yes, I am missing all of those hairs. Do you have it too? I played lacrosse in middle school. I was on the field during an away game when I noticed a girl who had no eyelashes. Her eyelids were completely bare, top and bottom, just like me. I was stunned. I had never seen anyone else with missing eyelashes before. I had to know, did she have trichotillomania too? I spent the entire game thinking of ways to approach this girl. My mind was racing with questions and possible situations that could arise. Would it be rude to walk up to her and ask? Would people from my school hear me? What if she doesn't have trichotillomania and I look stupid? What if she does, but she doesn't want anyone to know? What if she does and wants to talk about it? What will I do then? Do I admit I have it too? What if I can't talk to her long enough to ask her questions? Would we become friends? Does having trichotillomania automatically bond you? I couldn't stop thinking about it. I needed to find my courage and just say something. Unfortunately, I ended up saying nothing. I was too insecure and scared of the possibility of rejection. To this day, I don't remember the outcome of the game. All I remember is that girl without eyelashes. Tongue-tied. This is not the first time that I became too tongue-tied to say what I was thinking. When I saw, I longed to ask you if pulling is what you did too, but my time was slowly shrinking. I wanted to say I pull my hair, but instead I was just standing there, my mouth closed, my eyes unblinking. I was too scared to say it. Walking to the bus, I replayed it. My stomach was left sinking. That was really the first time that I had seen someone in real life with missing hair. besides someone who maybe was going through a cancer treatment, which many times, from what I've heard from other people in the community, people will automatically assume that you are sick with cancer, and that is why you are missing your hair, your eyebrows, or your eyelashes. And so to see a girl with no eyelashes, it really rocked my whole world. It was really, she was what I was thinking about the whole entire game. That is no exaggeration. I still don't know what the score was. I was kind of just in a daze after being like, wow, they exist. And by they, I mean other people with trichotillomania. So it was really, really eye-opening. I think at the time I made the right call. I know that it would have been nice to talk to her, but like I mentioned, my thoughts in this chapter are still valid thoughts where I'm like, what if I don't even have enough time to talk to her? What if I go to talk to her and I get yelled at by my coach, or she gets yelled at by her coach, or we have to go, or she gets subbed out, or maybe she doesn't even want to talk about it. And I'm happy to have just seen her. I think that's the main point in that story, was that, wow, oh my gosh, there are other people like this. There are other people my age. And the whole bus ride home, I'm like, oh, who is this girl? I kind of want to be friends with you, because I had no one else to really talk to about it. And besides the adults in my life and the medical professionals that I saw, I didn't have a kid my age. So that would have been really cool. That's not funny. I lived near two sisters who were about the same age as me. We loved to play Barbies and ride our bikes around the neighborhood. Most of the time, the neighborhood kids would get together to play games like manhunt, hide and seek, or capture the flag. There were a decent number of neighborhood kids, ranging in age, which meant my brother could play with us too. It was usually a lot of fun. These sisters would fight and wrestle each other, which didn't shock me because my brother and I would fight and wrestle too. Before long, they would end up laughing and it would turn into a game. On this particular night, I was invited to have dinner at their house. They wanted to wrestle and tickle me. I tried my best to defend myself, but because I was a weakling, I was overpowered and tickled like crazy. I was laughing so hard. The next part is where things got weird. The sister who was not tickling me decided to pull out tiny chunks of her hair and roll the chunks into balls to throw at me. A literal hairball. They were both cracking up at this like it was a normal thing to do. I was appalled. When I was able to free myself, I yelled, "Stop! That's not funny! That's not funny!" The sister stopped laughing and looked at me as if I were the crazy one. They never asked me why I yelled like that, but if they did, I'm sure I would have lied. I wouldn't have told them that it made me uncomfortable because I pulled my own hair out. And not for fun. For real. I vividly remember that moment and thinking to myself, wait a second. Are they doing this because they know I do it? And they're like making fun of me? Like, it was a really kind of like a mind trick. A mind F. To see the one sister pulling out her hair. I'm like, girl, what are you doing? And then for her to tangle it up in a little ball and then throw it at me, I was like, this, something is not right here. And I don't know if it was because of me, they knew it, they never brought it up, we never talked about it again, but it was very shocking to my little self to have that happen. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, stop that, I gotta go home. I continued playing with those girls. They were my friends still, but they never did that again. Probably because I freaked out, but like, I mean, wouldn't you if you were me? She's a B-word. Disclaimer. The names of individuals have been changed to protect their anonymity. There was another girl in our neighborhood, Amelia, who played with us. If I'm being honest, we all had mixed feelings about her. She was nice, but also mean at the same time. She would compliment us one second, but then the next she would be pointing out her insecurities. The sisters and I knew better than to do that. Why would we want to make someone feel bad? The first time I met this girl, she pointed out my missing eyebrows. I don't even remember the sisters doing this to me, and I was friends with them for months. I laughed and made some comment that changed the subject, but I was definitely annoyed with this girl. I still played with her, but only if she was already there. I never invited her to play with me on her own. Flash forward to when I'm in high school. It was during one of my pull-free years when I saw that I had a new friend request on Facebook. It was from her, Amelia. It had been years since we'd seen each other, but I accepted. A day or two later, I got a notification that she commented on my profile picture. Her comment read, "Remember that time you didn't have eyebrows?" The word furious doesn't even begin to describe how I felt after reading that comment. I was enraged. How dare her? Did she really think that a comment like that would be appropriate to write? I clearly had eyebrows now. Why would she bring that up? I ran away from the computer and told my parents. Their response, as inappropriate as it seems, was exactly what I needed. They said, Amelia? Oh, that girl has always been a bitch. Unfriend her and forget about her. It hurts like hell. She wasn't the first, and she won't be the last, to bring up uncomfortable things from my past. I don't understand how people can do this, to bring up such shame for their own amusement. It makes me wonder what they're going through. Is it to make someone feel as bad as they do? If that is the case, I hope they get well, because what they're doing, it hurts like hell. One of the things about growing up when I did was that we had Facebook. And I know this is the time to have social media. We get it. We all have it. We have multiple forms of it. But at the time, Facebook was fairly new, and we lied to say that we went to a certain college so that we could have a Facebook. So I'm really dating myself now, but that's what you had to do. You had to lie and say you went to a college and all this stuff. So anyway, at this point, Facebook is very popular. That's where you're posting all your pictures, you're having a good time. And it was so shocking to me to see that comment. I'm sure I deleted it. I'm sure you were able to. But the pit in my stomach that formed after I saw that comment, and I don't even know how long it had been up. It could have been up for 1 minute. But the thought that other people could have seen that comment totally freaked me out. I was furious. I didn't even really like this girl, and yet she was comfortable enough to comment that. I also remember struggling, in a sense, to take pictures with my friends. At the time, I was wearing dark eye makeup, and I felt okay to be perceived, but yet from certain photo angles, you could really tell that I was missing things. Did you know HabitAware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. And so the fact that I was all confident in posting these pictures and having my eyebrows and these eyelashes and things like that, it was so horrible to be reminded of the thing that I was most ashamed of and wanted to hide. I had friends of mine texting, who is Amelia? What is her address? Like, I'm ready to roll on her. Because that is true. Like, girl, you can be doing this. This stuff really sticks with people. It really hurts people when you say these mean, nasty things. And yeah, I obviously don't feel any type of negative energy toward her anymore. I forgive her for what she has said. It wasn't like that deep for me. It just like stung really bad. Like, I'm, you know, but yeah, I'm not friendly with the girl is what I'll say. I thought that was pretty funny. I got my hair caught in a hairbrush and other lies. Going to the hair salon is a wonderful, stress-free, and enjoyable activity for many women. However, to a person who suffers from trichotillomania, the idea of going to a hair salon causes an unimaginable amount of stress. In many cases, hair salons are outright avoided. I personally love having blonde highlights added to my naturally dark brown hair. Blondes have more fun! Just kidding. As a result of my personal preferences, though, I must go to the hair salon fairly often. I've learned to lie to stylists, and I've lied to them almost every single time I sit down in their chair. The phrase I most commonly use is, I got my hair caught in a hairbrush. This phrase explains why I have a chunk of extremely short hair on one side of my head. Normally, the stylist will say, oh, okay, wow, and run their fingers through my newly grown hair. I continue with, I had to cut it out. I tried to blow dry my hair like a professional and use one of those round brushes. I got it completely stuck, never doing that again. At this point, the stylist will laugh and the conversation will change directions. Sometimes a particularly curious stylist will ask me more follow-up questions like, when did this happen? The hair is really short. Or, how did you get it caught that badly? But guess what? I have prepared lies for those questions too. The lies are endless. I have also used the phrase, I fell asleep with bubblegum in my mouth. When I woke up, it was stuck in my hair. I had to cut it out. which again explains my short and uneven pieces of hair. I don't use that one nearly as often as the first, but it still gets the job done. When in doubt, say you had to cut it out. This past year, I decided to stop lying. I am no longer worried what the stylist will think. I still mention my newly grown hair, but I do not talk about the hair brushes or bubblegum. This time, I say proudly, I have trichotillomania. That means I pull my hair out. You will see some patches of new hair growing in right here. The freedom that I started to feel after saying, you know what? I don't care what these people think. And it's not in a bad way. It's just that I needed to stop caring what other people thought about my hair. If I wanted to get my hair done, I didn't want to keep lying. I'm not the best liar. I feel uncomfortable. It's just not a good experience. And I was tired of living that way and having to constantly lie. And then they know I'm lying. And then they ask me questions and I still lie. And like nobody, we all know. They know that I know that they know. It's a whole thing. And so when I started to go to different hair salons and just say it, nobody even really cared. I mean, I only told a few people because I tend to have a good relationship with my hairstylist. And so I go to them for years at a time. I'm not really seeing new people all the time. So the first story that I think would be fun to share is that when I was down here in Florida, so when I moved to Florida from Philadelphia, I just went to a random hair cuttery by my house. I know people will sometimes talk trash on hair cuttery, but I found some really good people there. And so I just took a chance. I went in and I said, you know what? Who's ready? And I, you know, who's ready to take me? And I had a really nice person do my hair. And at the time I had some regrowth, and I remember sitting in the chair and, you know, when you're in a salon like hair cuttery, really, you know, any salon, your hair is facing everyone. Like you're being turned around, your scalp is being parted, your hair is being parted. So your scalp is showing for different things. And so I remember I was talking about it to my hairstylist and she was holding my pieces of regrowth that were very short. And a stylist next to her said, oh, breakage, you know, talking about my hair. And normally I would have been like, yeah, I'd be like, writing it down. Great. I'll use that for next time. But this time I was like, oh no, I pulled my hair out. That's my hair growing back in. Oh, great. You know, it's amazing. You know, they actually mentioned how they like had heard about trichotillomania and they've worked with people before. And so after I said that, they were like kind of gassing me up and complimenting me because my hair was growing back. But also it was like, oh, I've heard of this. And even if they hadn't heard of it, I felt better after. I felt like more confident in my skin. And I was like, yeah, that's me. I do that. They're like, okay, great. I'm like, okay. And so when I was with that particular hairstylist, it was like easy peasy. You know, if I had short hair, that's why. They knew it. Made me feel really comfortable. That hairstylist ended up leaving that salon, and I found my current hairstylist, who I'm going to shout out here. Her name's Chelsea from White Cherry Studio. She's in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I met her when she was working at a different salon. Now she has her own salon, rocking out, being a boss bitch. Yeah. But I found her, and I told her right away, hey, I might have some short pieces. And what's so amazing is that she was the first person to cut my hair after I had removed my tape-in hair extensions. So anybody who has removed any type of hair extension, but especially tape-ins, oh, God bless. My hair was a mess because it looked amazing with my extensions because my hair was cut with my extensions. So when they were all gone, it was a whole choppy mess. Anywho, Chelsea was so sweet. Made my hair so beautiful. I still remember posting that first picture of me like, oh my God, I'm beautiful again. And so every time I've seen her since then, I mean, I've been with her for years now, I'm talking years. Every time she's complimenting me on my regrowth, she is, you know, just the best, most supportive hairstylist. I just will never leave her. When she left her salon, I said, where are you going? Followed her. I'll follow her everywhere. And so it really does make the experience that much more special and meaningful when you can be honest about what's going on with your hair. Because hairstylists, for the most part, listen, we know there's some people that are nasty, but for the most part, people are understanding and they want their profession is to make you feel beautiful with your hair. And like they want you to leave smiling and happy and, you know, all those good things. And so if you're able to explain to them, hey, I got this going on, maybe we can fix that or hide that or blend that. That's going to be like a nice, exciting adventure for you both. And I think that if they aren't able to do your hair in the way that makes sense, maybe they know somebody and maybe it's not a good fit. But I loved and felt so free the second I decided to start sharing my experience with trichotillomania with my hairstylists. And I just walk in that room. I say, here, do what you gotta do. And I leave feeling amazing. And another thing to shout out for Chelsea, White Cherry Studio, is her salon. It's a private salon. And so if you were someone who maybe felt uncomfortable being around other people, because like I said, if you're in the chair, you're spinning around, your hair is parted and all that stuff. If you felt uncomfortable, well, guess what? Chelsea's room is by herself, solo. She could also close the door. There's that privacy element, which I think is also really great. So if you're not in West Palm Beach, if you're anywhere else, look for people that have that studio space that would make you feel the most comfortable. Call in advance. Say, do you know how to cut hair for people who are maybe missing a certain percentage? Or have you dealt with people or worked with people with trichotillomania? See how you feel. You never have to go to them if you don't want to. But being able to talk ahead of time is really great. So I've had wonderful experiences. And I just blurt it out now. Because why not? The best case scenario is every case. Because guess what? If they haven't heard of it, awesome. I'm going to educate you. If they have, great. Tell me how you've heard of it. It's going to be amazing either way. So that's what I think I'm going to leave you on. That note is that if you're nervous about getting your hair cut because of your trichotillomania, send me a DM. Let's practice what we're going to say. But then also, just say it. It's going to be worth your while. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Trick Talks. See you next time. Thank you.